the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. It's a joy to be with you again this morning. We've been having a retreat, and many of you have been with us on the retreat, and you know that St. Gregory Palamas, whom we celebrate on this day and every second Sunday of the Great Lent, we remember St. Gregory, the Archbishop of Thessaloniki, and really the light bearer of grace, especially in our own time. He brings to us that knowledge that we can know God directly, and that we can share in the same energy that God has, so that we become God's by grace in communion with our Lord. And that was some of the theme of the retreat. And today I would like to give a summary of his most famous sermon, which was about the Mother of God, and it was about her entrance into the temple. But it really culminates with a vision of the Annunciation and the Incarnation, which we'll be celebrating this Friday. So I thought, this would be a good sermon to give to prepare us for the Annunciation. And I gave some stories about St. Gregory Palamas, and what I didn't tell was that his father died when he was still quite young. And he was raised and schooled at in the court of the emperor. That's where his father worked as a senator in the court of the emperor. And so they took care of Gregory and his six other siblings, and they all grew up there in the emperor's house, really, in his court and under his schooling. But when Gregory turned about 20 years old, it says that he put his mother and sisters he got them established in a monastery, and he took the brothers and they went to Mount Athos, and St. Gregory spent 20 years in Mount Athos. And he spent his weeks in silence learning hesychia, that inner stillness, that going into the inner closet of prayer and coming to know the Lord in a very profound way. For 5 days during the weekdays, that's what he would do, and on the weekends he would go to one of the large monasteries, to the church, for the celebration of the Sunday liturgy and or on special feast days. And so he learned a lot about this inner place of stillness, and there we're told that he met the Mother of God. She came to him in a visitation, and she imparted to him this event that took place in the temple when she grew up. She really told him what went on in her soul when she spent all of those years, from the time she was 3 years old and entered into the temple. She lived in the Holy of Holies, behind the curtain, because the curtain was never opened, right? The high priest would go in behind the curtain. It's in the New Covenant that the curtain is open, and we have access through Jesus Christ into the Holy of Holies as the Mother of God had. Well, she tells Gregory, St. Gregory, what took place. And it's unbelievable. And sometimes people will say, after they hear what I'm going to tell you about what took place there, they say, whoa, that's so different than the vision we have of Mary in Luke's gospel at the Annunciation, where she seems so reticent and quiet and reserved. When Gabriel comes and announces, how can this be? You know, how can it be? And then she ponders it in her heart, and she says, let it be done according to thy word. And so we have that vision in Luke's gospel. But St. Gregory gives us a very powerful vision of a very active Mother of God, who compels, you're going to hear this in just a moment, she compels God to come down to earth. Well, what the gospel that sounds a lot more like that is in John's gospel, we get a picture of the Mother of God, that when they go to a wedding in Cana of Galilee and they run out of wine, she goes to Jesus and she says, do something. And he says, it's not my time. My hour has not yet come. And she says, oh, yes, it has. And she says, it's time for the Lord to act, quoting a passage from Psalm 118 or 119, however they're numbered. But there's that beautiful word. It is time for the Lord to act. And that is the word that the deacon gives to the bishop. When the bishop's here, before liturgy begins, it's the first words. You don't often hear it here. But the deacon says, it is time for the Lord to act. And if the bishop says, I'm not quite ready, the deacon says, oh, yes, you are. It's time for the Lord to act. We're moving forward. And this is how I hear this sermon that is St. Gregory's most famous sermon. I've just taken a few lines. I've condensed a very long sermon into, I think I have 5 cards here. Every time you see me looking at this card or reading from the card, these are the words of St. Gregory Palamas. If I stop and make a little side comment, that's me. But this is these are the words of St. Gregory Palamas. He begins by giving us the purpose and meaning of our human existence in this world. He gives us, what is the meaning of human life? And this is what he says. This is at the beginning of the sermon. He says, the reason mankind was brought into being by God was so that they might apprehend with their senses the sky, the earth, and everything they contain, that they might get a cosmological understanding of the whole universe that God has created. And its iconic meaning, that they would understand what the heavens declare concerning the glory of God. This is the reason mankind was brought into being by God, so that they might apprehend with their senses the sky, the earth, and everything they contain as visible objects, and by means of them, to go beyond them with their minds. The Greek word there is their nous, their noetic perception, their ability to see God. To go beyond the physical with their minds, to the invisible beauties, that they might sing the praises of God, the one creator of all. And so it is that the Virgin entered into the Holy of Holies, and at once she looked around, and when she saw that it pleased her, she felt it was a suitable place for her to stay. Through the beauty of what she saw, she immediately cast her mind's eye to the unseen beauties. So she goes into the Holy of Holies and she starts looking around. And I can tell you the first time I was back in the holy place, in the sanctuary, it was like, whoa. I was just looking at everything. What is this? Well, this is what the Mother of God experienced. And from the physical beauties, she sprung up higher into those things that are unseen. And with profound understanding, she listened to the writings of Moses and the revelations of the other prophets when every Saturday all the people gathered outside as the law ordained. What does it mean outside? Outside of the Holy of Holies. So I picture her, she was like at the curtain listening. You know, she would come up and she would hear what the rabbis and the priests were teaching on outside here in the nave. So she would be listening, and as they gathered, She would hear about the story of Moses and the prophets, and she learned about Adam and Eve and everything that happened to them, about their fall and the brokenness. And she saw that as time passed, life continued under the inherited curse and grew ever worse. God's creature made in his image was estranged from the Creator and became more and more closely associated with the one who had evilly schemed to crush him, namely the devil. Instead of growing into the likeness of God, man began to devolve. There was no evolution there, there was a devolution, a devolving into the likeness of the serpent. And when the Holy Virgin Maid heard and understood this, she was filled with pity for humanity and with the aim of finding a remedy to counteract this great affliction. She resolved at once to turn with her whole mind, again, her nous, her noetic perception. She turned with her whole noetic mind to God, and she took upon herself to represent us and to constrain him who is above compulsion and to quickly draw him towards us. It's a vision of her springing up into heaven and saying, it's time for you to act, come down, and to constrain the one who was above compulsion, and quickly bringing, and he says in another place, and you've pointed this out to me, Father Daniel, that the whole Trinity comes and dwells within the Mother of God, and that she brings forth the one, the Logos, the second person of the Trinity, into this world, that he might remove the curse from among us. For she alone forms the boundary between the created and the uncreated nature, and no one can come to God except through her and the mediator born of her. And none of the of God's gifts can be bestowed on angels or on men except through her. That's a powerful word. She alone forms the boundary. We looked in this retreat about the imaginative faculty as the boundary between the uncreated and the created, and how that imaginative faculty is like a huge iconostasis that gets holy images from earth and holy images from heaven, and the two conjoin in a complex union. Well, she is the personification of that imaginative faculty. She brings forth from heaven the image of the Logos and brings him into this world in a concrete, iconic form. She alone forms the boundary between the created and the uncreated nature, and no one can come to God except through her and through the mediator born of her. And none of God's gifts can be bestowed on angels or men except through her. So using her nous for the sake of us all and achieving this great and surpassingly great deed by means of her boldness towards God, she did not merely come to resemble God, but she also made God to resemble man, not just by persuading him, but by conceiving him without seed and bearing him in a way past telling. And now St. Gregory just turns to the Mother of God and just begins to thank her in the Holy Spirit. He says, "Oh Virgin, who can show forth all your praise? You became the Mother of God. You united your nous with God. You have joined God with flesh. You have made God the Son of Man and man the Son of God. You have reconciled the world to the Creator of the world." O Mother of God, we look forward to celebrating the great feast of the Annunciation, the fulfillment of this word that you gave to St. Gregory. To thee be glory, and together with thee, we glorify the living God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, now and ever and unto the ages of ages. Amen.